today is a healing service. Lots of excitement, I sense. So you know what? It's not, we're going to speak about this now. We won't speak too long because we're going to pray for people and people are going to get healed and we're going to see God glorified. But I want to, just by a show of hands, who came especially this morning because there's a healing service and you have an expectation for God to heal you somehow? You can just slip it up. Are there people? Wow, wonderful. Okay. So I want to encourage you, if you came with some form of issue, and we're going to pray at the end as well, but I actually felt that there's some of us that were healed during the worship because the presence of God is here. Where the Holy Spirit is, the presence of God is, He heals. It's not us. And we're going to speak about Him a little bit more this morning. So I want to encourage you, if that is you, even if you didn't stick up your hand now, but you had some back pain or ankle pain, whatever it is, I want you to silently test it out while I'm speaking and expect God to already have touched some of you and healed some of you. All right, so don't wait till later. Holy Spirit is here. The presence of God is here. And where He is, there is healing because He is healing, right? Okay, so I'm going to pray for us and then we're going to start. Thank you, Jesus. We just worship You. We thank You that You are here. Thank You for coming. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that You are the power of God. And when You come, it's not something You do. It's who You are. You heal broken hearts. You heal sick bodies. You heal your mental issues, Lord. You heal sleeplessness. You heal people that can't have babies, God. You just, that's just who You are. That's what You do. You bring heaven to earth, like the Lord's Prayer. Father, so we thank You, Holy Spirit, that You are here. We ask that You would reveal Jesus, that You would reveal the Father to us. We just invite You to come and do what only You can do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to start with 1 Corinthians. If you've got your Bible, you can open that with me. 1 Corinthians 2. Every Sunday I preach, I'm tempted to not make the slides, and then I do in the end. But I do want to encourage you to bring your Bible to church. It's just different to know it's on the right-hand page there in my Bible. To get to know opening up our words again and reading from the Word of God, even if it's electronic. So I want you to open with me 1 Corinthians 2. We're going to read verse 4 and 5. This is Paul speaking. He's writing to the church in Corinth. And he's saying there, and he's explaining basically Christ being crucified. But then he says there, and my, which is Paul's speech, and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. But, this is where you need to listen, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So Paul is basically saying that I didn't come to you merely with words. I didn't come to you with a good argument or great story. I came telling you about Jesus, but it was also with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I didn't come just with wisdom, but in the power of God. You see, the gospel was never a gospel of words only. It's always been a gospel of power. Power to transform lives, power to heal, power to set the captives free. That's what Jesus did when He walked the earth. He preached the kingdom, He explained the scriptures to the people, but then what did He do? He did miracles. Signs, wonder, that's the power of the gospel. You see, it's no good we come Sunday after Sunday to church or you read your Bible and you pray, but there's no change. Then I beg to ask, is it really the gospel? Because if we serve Jesus and we believe the gospels, then there should be power. There should be power to break addiction. There should be power to heal sick bodies. There should be power for miracles. You name it, it should be here. Do you all agree with me? Otherwise, what are we doing? Then we're not with the same gospel that Paul is preaching, or even Jesus. That's what Jesus did. You know, I got filled with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, in 2001. I grew up not really hearing much about the Holy Spirit, but grew up in church all my life. But in 2001, I heard about the Holy Spirit and about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I remember going up for a prayer to be baptized, basically just asking for the Holy Spirit to come and fill you up. And I went forward when they said who wants to have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I went forward and I pretty much immediately started praying in tongues. But, and in my life, there was some power, some transformative power that the Holy Spirit brought in. I immediately, the Bible became alive to me. I love reading, so I always read my Bible. But after being filled with the Spirit, it was different. It was, I don't know if anybody else has seen it. I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop reading the Bible. I loved it. It was just different. That's why the Word is living and active, eh? And so that's one of the big things that changed for me. So there was power when the Holy Spirit came. There was a change. Richard spoke the other night at youth and he told the kids that when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, that the transformative power that came into his life is he used to swear a lot. The pastor used to swear a lot. As a teenager especially, the mont was nie mooi swear nie. But after being filled at the age of 15, filled with the Holy Spirit, the next day, he didn't try and stop swearing. It changed. What changed? It's the Holy Spirit, who is the power of God, that came upon him, that came and lived inside of him. So where the Holy Spirit is, there is transformative power, because that is who he is. Does that make sense? The Holy Spirit is not somebody or something separate to. The Holy Spirit is God. Sometimes we struggle with that for some reason, thinking he's a ghost or a dove. For the kids, I'm forever asking them, who is the Holy Spirit? And they all say he's a dove. No, he's not a dove. He's like a dove. But sometimes he's like fire. He's like wind. But he is God. And he's a person. And he's part of the triune God. Sometimes we struggle. We don't speak about the Holy Spirit because we don't know what to do, what to make of him. Father God, I understand because I have an earthly father. Be it good or bad, I had one. Like Rosita had a mom. We all had a dad somehow. Jesus, I can relate to. He walked the earth. But the Holy Spirit, I think we sometimes struggle with. And that's okay if we don't understand. But to just, who knows, in a marriage, to just ignore something and just make as if it's not there, some issue, doesn't solve the problem. I want to invite you, if you're struggling to understand the Holy Spirit or who he is, ask Jesus, help me. Read the scriptures. Go and study. Because let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is Emmanuel, God with us now. And he is the power of God. I got filled with the Spirit, and what happened was somehow I swallowed a lie that only certain people, you know, the gifts in 1 Corinthians 14, it says there the gifts of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues, somebody interprets it, miracles, gift of faith, healing. I somehow swallowed the lie that only certain people has certain gifts. And what happened was, immediately the focus became on me. What gift do I have? So what do I have? What am I called to? What gifts do I have? Do I have the gift? Don't I have the gift? Completely consumed with me, myself, and I, and what gifts I have. Not realizing it's got nothing to do with me. It's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if you read there in 1 Corinthians, we don't need to go there, 12. Well, I'll go there. You don't need to, but you can if you want. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. It says there, these are the diversities of gifts. That's the gifts we just spoke about, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Have most of you heard of it? You get the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Fruit, humility, kindness, patience, all those nice things. Fruits of the Holy Spirit, and then you get the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You all with me? The gifts is the gift of healing, gift of faith, speaking in tongues, interpreting, all of that. So somehow I swallowed the lie that I need to have all the fruits, but I don't have all the gifts. Only certain people have the gifts. Because 1 Corinthians 12 then says that the Holy Spirit, he gives to whoever he wants. Not understanding that 1 Corinthians 12 was Paul speaking about how things should be done when everybody comes together, like this morning. It's not speaking to an individual. This letter is written to a church, saying when you all come together on any given Sunday or in the week, whenever you're gathering, the Holy Spirit will, for that meeting, maybe give Venora the gift of healing, Dirkie the gift of speaking in tongues. Let's try and do it orderly. Let's not all shout out and do things. Does that make sense? But the key that I want you to see is in verse 4. It says there, these are the diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit is one with the gifts. So when the Holy Spirit comes and he fills me, does he come with only certain of the fruits? Oh, I didn't get patience. Maybe some of us think I missed out on that one. No. We know that he comes with all the fruit, don't we? I hope you understand that part. We don't get to pick and choose which of the fruits. He comes with all of it. Why? Because it's not about me. It's about him. In the same way, when he comes with all the gifts, it's him that comes. And whenever there's a need, he's the one with the gifts, not me. And he's inside of me. So can I heal the sick? Yes and no. Yes, I can be the body. I cannot heal, but the Holy Spirit is inside of me and he can heal. Do I have the gift of healing? This specifically, the gift of healing that sometimes people have are more anointed in certain areas than others. I don't know and I don't care. What I know is the Holy Spirit's got the gift and it's inside of me. He lives inside of me. So if there's a sick person in front of me, can I pray for them and they be healed? Yeah. Have you got the Holy Spirit? Yes. Will they be healed? Yes. Why? Is it anything you did specially or are you special? Am I special? No. It's got nothing to do with me. And I think it's actually quite embarrassing, but I'll tell you, probably about 3 or 4 years ago, this realization came upon me, because for the whole time, what gift do I have? You know, what? And the focus is all about me, on me. And for the first time, I realized it doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit is the one with the gifts. If I'm filled with the Spirit, then all the gifts are there for whatever the need is in front of me. And you know what? It changed my whole life. It changed my whole life. And I realized that the Holy Spirit is the power of God. We're going to carry on and we're going to look at, I just need to be with me. In Acts 1 verse 8, we're not going to go there, but it says there, now Jesus have gone back to heaven, and what did he say to his disciples? He said, go and wait in Jerusalem. Why? For the Holy Spirit. But it says there, you will receive something when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit, Acts 1 verse 8, it says here so beautifully, he says, Jesus speaking, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus is saying, I have called you to go and heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse the lepers, to make disciples. I have called you to start a business. I've called you to raise kids who sometimes feel like needs a bigger miracle than raising the dead. I have called you to be a good husband, a good wife. I've called you to do all these things. But most of us would agree, if you may be honest, that sometimes what we called seems so simple, but it's so overwhelming. And you're like, God, I cannot do this. I don't know. For me, sometimes it's just to have the patience to sit through a maths. Margaret had maths homework. Oh, my goodness. I sat yesterday afternoon and I was like, the patience to try and explain to her there's a different way of doing it. And you realize that God asks us to do the impossible. Why? Because he's given us the Holy Spirit. That's why you and I can do the impossible, because it's not about us. We have the Spirit of God living inside of us. And that Spirit of God is not just there. He is not just here to comfort me and help me. He is there for you to do the impossible, for you to walk in the signs, miracles, and wonders, for us to not be okay when we are sick or our friend is sick, but to say, you know what? I cannot heal, but the Holy Spirit can, and he lives inside of me. Let me pray for you. Does that make sense? So the Holy Spirit is the power of God. Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will receive power. Power. All right. In the Old Testament, sorry, I'm just going to cough. In the Old Testament, we have various examples of the Holy Spirit coming upon a person. Okay? So I've got them up there, a list of them. What we're going to just quickly talk through them. But you'll see there that as you, I think I try to pick the stories in the Old Testament that most of us would know. The first one is Saul. Saul, King Saul. King Saul was actually quite a, it wasn't always, there's a scary verse that says the Spirit of God actually left Saul. If anybody read that, I think that's the most scary verse in the whole of the Bible. But here it says Saul wasn't actually King Saul. He wasn't actually called to be a prophet. Yet, in this scripture, 1 Samuel 10, it says there that the Spirit of God came upon him once he was in the company of prophets, and he started prophesying. He did something he couldn't do before. Why? Because the Holy Spirit came upon him. And there was power, because the Holy Spirit is the power of God. The second one I've got there is Gideon. Oh my goodness, that's a favorite story. Hey, Gideon was timid. He was scared. He was actually hiding away. I'm not going to go into, but it's a fascinating story. He was hiding away trying to sort out his little wheat so that the Midianites won't catch him. And comes the Holy Spirit comes upon him. And Jesus speaks to him through an angel, which is probably Jesus in the Old Testament, saying, oh, mighty man of valor, you brave. And Gideon's like, do you even know who I am? I mean, I'm hiding away. I am like the least of the least. But there's a translation, I don't know which one, but the word actually says, oh, it's so beautiful. The Holy Spirit put Gideon on like a glove. He put him on like a glove. The Holy Spirit came upon Gideon. And what did he do? They defeated the Midianite armies in a miraculous way with 300 mere men. Then the next one there is David. I mean, we don't need to even talk about it. But here in 1 Samuel 16, it's specifically when Samuel came to anoint David king. And the word says, and the Spirit of God came upon David that day. Okay, we see another one, Samson. Oh, all the kids. Christina said, is it okay if when she gets to heaven, she asks to first meet Samson and then Jesus? She asked me that the other night, and I said, Michael, I'm sure Jesus is okay with that. She just wants to meet Samson. She's like, what? And you know what? The Spirit of God, it says, came upon this guy, and it wasn't, in that case, to heal the sick or raise the dead. It was to be strong, physically strong. That's the power of God. That's the Holy Spirit. That's not Samson. There's another guy, the man with a B, that started a first man in the Bible. I'm not going to look for him. But he actually had to build the ark of Moses. And it says there, that's the first reference to the Spirit of God coming upon him. I'm just reminded of him now. If somebody knows his name, it starts with a B. Anyways. You know, Carla knows exactly what I'm talking about. And it says there, the Spirit of God came upon him, and he was creative. He could do creativity, craftsmanship to build the ark of Moses. He was anointed. We call it anointed in these days, but it's the Holy Spirit that came upon him. And then we see in Luke 1, verse 35, it says, the Holy Spirit overshadowed or came upon Mary. The power of God came upon this young teenage girl, and she became pregnant with the Christ child. How amazing. That is just some of the examples in the Old Testament of the Holy Spirit coming upon a person. If you go and study all of those, ignore Jesus for a while. If you go and study the first five people, you will see those people are not perfect. I think Mary was close to perfect. She was amazing. But Samson, let's not talk about Paul Samson, decision-making abilities, especially around ladies, was not great. David was not perfect. Saul was not perfect. Gideon was definitely not perfect. Yet, the Holy Spirit, when he comes upon, he anoints. He comes with power. It's not so much about you. There's a different sermon about surrendering and making space for the Holy Spirit, making sure our lives are holy for him to come. But we're not going to speak about that today. What I want you to see is that there's actually nothing special about the people. It's all about the Spirit of God coming. Okay. Bill Johnson says it's so amazing. He says, the Holy Spirit comes inside of me for my sake. Does that make sense? When I get saved, the Holy Spirit comes. He lives inside of me. All right? He transformed my life. I don't swear anymore. I struggle less with patience. He's inside of me to help me for my sake. But he comes and he rests upon me for your sake, for somebody else's sake. Does that make sense? That we see here. The Holy Spirit came in each one of these examples we looked at now, and you will find them throughout the Bible. The New Testament is just full of it. The Holy Spirit would rest on a person. Why? For the people around them's sake, for the nation of Israel, for the, do you understand? So the Spirit of God comes and rests on us. Now there's a difference, which I want you to see. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God, Samson, for example, each time it says, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and this man would rip the lion apart with his bare hands. And then a couple of verses later, it says again, the Spirit of God came upon him, and then he did something amazing again. But in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit, remember, has now come. All right? Now, I want you to look. This one, I want you to turn to John 1. If you can go there. We've got it up there for those who don't have a Bible. That's fine. John 1, verse 32 to 34. This is Jesus being baptized. And John is writing about when Jesus was baptized. And I want you to see something here that's completely different to the guys that we looked at in the Old Testament. And it says there, and John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending. Spirit is the Holy Spirit, descending from heaven like a dove. And he remained upon him. Who's him? Jesus. I did not know him, Jesus, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, listen to this, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him. This is he who baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit came upon Jesus and he remained on Jesus. All the other times in the Old Testament, the Spirit would come, and then it says there later again, the Spirit came again. With Jesus, the Spirit came once and he remained. We are supposed to imitate Christ. Our lives should be thus that the Holy Spirit would remain upon us. Like I said, that's a sermon for a whole different day. But what I want you, just a quick one on the side. If it's like a dove, the Holy Spirit isn't a dove, but can you for a moment imagine the Holy Spirit coming down and sitting on yourself? Don't imagine Jesus thinking of yourself coming upon you like a dove. If you have a dove on your shoulder or on your head, how do you walk? How do you live? You don't want to scare the dove. Holy Spirit isn't a dove, but just for this exercise, how do you don't want to scare the Holy Spirit away. We don't want to do that. He's not fickle. Let me tell you, he's not easily scared. But we don't want to live in such a way that would scare the dove. How would you live? Would you go like this? No, you're not. Why? You're going to live with him in mind, with the bird in mind. Say you had a bird on your shoulder. You're going to live with him in mind. Right? So I'm not going to have William blast his music, which he's been doing lately, to the rest of the household. I don't want the little bird to fly away because I've got him here. And I want to keep him here. In the same way, this is a side note, I said I'm not going to speak about this, but here we go. When you want the Holy Spirit to remain on you like Jesus, he remained on Jesus, I want to ask you, how are you living? Is he welcome when nobody is watching? Is he okay with what you're watching on TV, on your phone? Is he welcome in your house? Is he welcome in your workplace? Okay? But that's not for today. Just leave it there. What I want you to see is that the Holy Spirit wants to remain. He wants to remain on you. He doesn't just want to come upon you in certain ways. Saying he wants to make his house, he wants to remain on you, and he is the power of God. He is the one that does all the miracles. He is the one who heals the sick, who cleanses the lepers. He is the one that does everything. We cannot do anything without him. I was so blessed this morning because this morning what happened was the Holy Spirit put Richard on like a glove. You saw that. It wasn't him. Trust me, I know him inside out. He's pretty amazing. He can play amazing guitar. But when he gets on stage to lead worship, I know that's not my husband, Richard. That's the Holy Spirit. And that is the Holy Spirit. That's the power of God. That's the presence of God. So this morning, I really felt that God's saying to make space for the Holy Spirit and to realize that if he's upon you, he wants to work through you. And when we pray for the sick, when we're asking God to do the impossible, we know it's not us. And I want to encourage you to take your eyes off you. Don't make the same mistake I made for so many years, thinking, what gift have I got? What is this? It's not about me and you. It's about the Holy Spirit, and it's about God doing it through you. Does that make sense? We are just fully surrendered vessels. So with that as a background, I want to ask that we're going to pray for sick people now. Firstly, before we start there, who has been prayed for in this church and you have had God touch you and you've had some improvement, or be it completely healed of some physical illness since being here, since we started doing this? Okay? Look around you. Just look at, because I thought, should I start listing the testimonies? And I love testimonies, but I didn't feel this morning we're going to go there. You look around and you know God heals. We are not special. Most of the times we didn't even have a guest speaker. You all grew with me and Richard. And bless your hearts, because I think in the beginning it was cowboy. I think it was not yet cowboys. It's wild. But we're just trying to, God, you said heal the sick. And here we are and we want to see it. And what did God do? It's not about us. Did we do it perfectly? No, not at all. I think back of two years ago we started this and I cringe. And I'm like, oh, here I help ons. It's not about us. And I think God makes it so clear. It's about him. And this morning, in case you've missed it, he is here. He is here. And he wants to come and heal. He wants to come and set free. So I normally also have a whole list of things that I feel God wants to touch specifically, and I've got one or two. But the first one I felt quite clearly last night is, if you came with an expectation, or even if you have an expectation right now that God is going to heal me, he's going to touch me, won't you just stick up your hand? If you're saying, I came and I know, amen, thank you. I came and I know God wants to heal me, then that's the first almost word of knowledge. I felt God saying, I'm going to honor your expectation, because your expectation is equal to faith. You came with faith. You came saying, I've heard, I know, I'm coming. Nothing's going to keep me away because I'm being healed today. The second one is, we had Richard shared the testimony. We were in Stellenbosch at a Jesus Week there at our Shofar Church on that side. And there was a girl that had hearing. She was actually born almost deaf. And the doctors told her mom she will never hear. She must go to a deaf and mute school or whatever. Long story short, she's been wearing hearing aids all her life. But she didn't wear them to church that night. It was a Saturday night. And she came forward. They prayed for her. And for the first time, she could hear somebody speak behind her. God healed her hearing. I don't know if it's 100%, but she could hear words behind her that she's never heard before. Okay, she's probably in her 20s. She was in tears. So I feel God is saying he's going to heal ears today. Is there anybody with any, whether it's hearing or ear pain, anything with ears? Is there anybody struggling with ears? Why don't you just slip up your hand? Let's see. Anybody? Nobody with hearing problems? There's a hand. Okay, praise God. We're going to pray for that one. And then the other one, and then we're going to unleash it, and everybody's going to stand up who's here for healing. The other one that we've seen two people healed of this year only is two ladies, is arthritis, pain in joints and knees. The one lady was specifically the knees, the other was the elbows. Is there anybody struggling with arthritis, pain in joints? Yeah, you're many. Praise God. We've seen two ladies that, and they've had pain for many years, that God touched and could, you know, function optimally without pain. So if you have stuck up your hand for any of the above, Won't you just stand up, please? Just, we're going to pray for you, so you can just stand where you are at. If I can ask the lady at the back, Tani Rita, is it Tani met die ore? Askies, kan ek vir Tani vra om vorentoe te kom?
When she said hearing, I felt like it wasn't physical hearing. I think it's maybe emotional, spiritual hearing, not people who aren't hearing what they need to hear, maybe from someone they love or unable to hear. So it's a blockage in hearing emotionally or spiritually.
I mean, He wants to heal us physically, but it doesn't end there. So what Carla is saying, does anybody find, this is difficult. If you're not hearing your husband or wife, please stand up. Okay, don't stand up now, but if that is the issue, we're going to get everybody else to stand up now, then you can gently stand up with him. But if that is the issue in your relationships and you actually feel like people around you are saying, you're not hearing me, then God wants to heal that today. Okay, God didn't just wants to heal your body, he wants to heal all of it, all the relationships. That's the power of God. Okay. All right. So you with the hearing, bear that in mind. We're going to get you to stand up now. But anybody else, if you have got anything else that you are trusting God for healing, won't you just stand up now? Just anybody else. If there's back pain, foot pain, doesn't matter, even mental illnesses, anything else. And now with the hearing, if that is you, you can also stand up. Nobody will know. All right. Okay, so what I want to ask you, isn't it amazing that we can laugh in church? Eh? Kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Okay, so what I want you to do right now for those who are standing, I want you to breathe out. I want you to close your eyes, open your hands in front of you, and know that there is no expectation on you to do anything, to get anything. You don't need to perform. Why? Because Jesus is the one that does it all. There is no pressure, no performance. So thank you, Lord, right now that we can just cancel any pressure, any performance. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just come with your love, the love of the Father, and just come and just bathe everyone standing. God, just come and fill them with the liquid love of God. I want to declare over each one standing that you are loved. You are accepted. You are good enough, not because of anything you have done, but because of everything Jesus has done and whose you are. And I also want to break the lie that you're struggling with whatever it is that you're struggling with, whether it's physically or emotionally or spiritually. The sickness or the blockage, it's not your fault. So we just take off any pressure that says you did something wrong and God is punishing you. God does not punish sickness. He's a good Father. So I want to encourage you just to receive the love of God. Mm-hmm.